thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life. Lord, we thank you, Father, for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, just this night, Lord God, we come before you, Father, as your children. Lord, we come before you, Father, as those, Lord, that are called by your name. Father, we come before you, Lord God, knowing that in you, Lord God, we are made whole and made right. Father, that that in ourselves there dwells no good thing, Father, but in you, Lord God, is all righteousness, all fulfillment, Lord God, all desire and truth, Lord God, is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, this day, Father, as we come before you, Lord, we just leave everything at the side, Father, every care, every concern, every worry, Lord God, every anxiety, Lord, that we might have in our hearts, Father. We leave them, Lord God, at the side, Lord. We're anxious about nothing, Father. And in all things, Lord, with prayer and supplication, we make our requests known to you this night, Lord. Our request, Father, is for your peace. Our request, Lord God, is for you, Lord God, to lead and guide us into all truth and into that which you have intended and desired, Lord God, for your people. So, Lord, as we just spend some time, Father, in the Word, as we spend some time, Lord, just seeking you, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us in a very strong way, Lord, that your Spirit of truth would lead and guide us into all truth. And, Lord, I just get out of the way, Father, and I just invite your free flow of your Spirit, Lord, to have your way, Father, in and through me. And, Lord, we just go on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. So we will pick it up from last week. Yes. You enjoyed last week.
I think
it's interesting.
That's why you listened before I didn't say that.
I know. That's why you came back. You're like, oh, wow. Well, you know, actually, I mean, a big part of this whole thing is, you know, when we show up in life and we show up in this world, there's not a lot of people that are giving you the... I mean, you kind of all of a sudden you're here, you're in this world, and there's not a lot of people that are telling you what's really going on. You get like a lot of surface stuff, you know, like, okay, you know, you should buy this, you should wear this, you should do this, you should... But, like, why? You know, like the deeper pieces behind reality. And so that's why I think a lot of people melt down if they're asking any questions at all when they get to their 40s. Because it's just like, whoa, my life is just flashing by so fast. And, you know, and like you're in some dead-end job and you're, you know, you've got family and obligations and expenses. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, crap, my life is going to be over before I know it. And what is it all about? And why am I here? And, you know, and so, and at that point they've got a whole new set of things to trap you. So get a stick off, have an extramarital affair. It's like, what's the difference? But the point being is, like, you know, just the world is set up with a series of traps to keep you and to catch you at each and every stage of life. So as a child, it's set up one way. As a teenager, it's set up another way. When you go to college, it's set up another way. When you start your first round of work, it's set up another way. When you, you know, you have a family, it's set up. And so each level, it keeps changing, and it keeps changing with continuous traps and snares along the way for anyone that would desire to be free, to walk out of this thing. It's like, here's another one, you know. And that's why, too, it's so important for someone up front who has any desire for truth, for life, to learn to the voice of the Spirit of God, for one, and then also to learn to obey and to walk with Christ. Because if you don't have that, you have no way of navigating through the minefield of life. And so what ends up happening is you will try to get through life based on your carnal knowledge, your carnal understanding. And as we've gone through plenty of times, that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So it's like there's ways that seem good, but in the end will shipwreck your life. And the problem is like, so you have this constant attack against your mind, your psyche, your heart, the competition for your heart and your affections while you're living here. And You know, part of my questions have been too, okay, you know, what's going on? I mean, why this constant barrage of things seeking to gain my heart, my thoughts, my affection? And why is it that, you know, there's so few of us? You know, or it seems like there's so few people that have any heart for truth, that have any, you know, that are seeking that are just, you know, that are seeking. And it seems like, so it's like, okay, where are they? And then, because most people are content, it seems like, with some form of religious appeasement. So, if I can do my religious duty, you know, whether it be temple, whether it be church, whether it be mass, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, then, and I'm somebody that's in a position of legitimacy according to the world's system, tells me I'm okay, then I must be okay, and then let me just go on with my life in the world. It seems like most people are content with that.
They don't know.
Well, you wonder though. See, sometimes they don't know, and maybe it's just they've never heard the truth. But other times,
they don't know.
Yeah, but other times, it's like it seems like there's actually those that are higher in the world system do know, and they deliberately reject it. But they still have this nagging thing inside of them, because they know that okay, the issue with them is, if you reject God, okay, two things: you better not grow old, and you better not die. Because if you do, you're absolutely screwed. Because it's like, okay, you reject the author of life, and yet you live in his world, you breathe his air, you know, and ultimately you give an account of your life to him. I mean, talk about stupid. You know, that's like the most. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's like going to, you know, the heavyweight champion, boxing champion of the world's home, you know, when you're a 120-pound weakling and going up and, you know, like scratching his car and, you know, kicking his dog, and then it's just like, I can do whatever I want. It's like, okay, you know, he might get mad. So there's a psalm actually that says, "Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you get destroyed in his." Oh, actually, let me read that one really quick. I shouldn't haphazardly refer to scriptures, especially in a Bible study. Psalm 2 and Psalm 149. Psalm 2 and Psalm 149. This is a little detour before we get into everything tonight. But it says, the verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So, you know, it's not smart to test God's patience. You know, the wisest thing that a person can do is, as quickly as possible, to square themselves away with the author and the finisher of life. As quickly as possible to get right. If somebody is on the wrong path, if somebody's on a way that leads to death, if somebody's on that, whatever it takes, stop, you know, repent, get right with God, and then go from that place on the right direction. So that's why too, like, you know, I meet people at varying stages in life. I meet people at varying places in life, and some that have done tremendous damage to themselves, and then others you know, who are just, you know, kind of, oh, why am I here, whatever the case may be, wherever you are, if you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way. Stop, turn the car around, and then start going in the right direction. And from that place, from that direction, then just keep going, and whatever happens, just keep pursuing that way. And you know, it's not an easy road God called us to, but it's, He did keep it simple. You know, the world likes to complicate it, because if it complicates it, then it can sell it to you, because you don't understand it, and so now you have to pay somebody to explain it to you. So that's why also what we do is free. Okay. Now we've been in the series the Call of the Righteous, and I think this is part three. Okay. One thing back to even the whole aspect of you know, when we talk about righteousness, again, we have to, some of what we're doing is demystifying, exposing, revealing the falsity behind a lot of the stuff that we've been bludgeoned with. So, you know, you get bombarded by the secular world and by the world that's infiltrated the church, and they give you something, and you're the sacred cow. So if you question it, you know, it's like, okay, what's wrong with you? But the truth is, it's, you know, what's wrong with me is that what I'm hearing is not true. It's not in the scriptures. It's not in alignment with the Spirit of God that lives in me. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to, I just, like, there's an issue here that needs to be resolved. And then when you go to the Father with this issue, He's like, yeah, you know, that's right, because my Spirit that's in you is stirring you up to show you that that's not it. And do you have the courage to come out of everything that's comfortable and everything that you know to actually follow me? And I'll lead you. See, that's why too, even in the scriptures it said, you know, that you need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. So the Spirit of truth teaches and leads and guides into all truth anyone that has the courage to follow Him. So what it begins with this place of, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't really have anywhere else to go. You know, I'm basically stuck in this thing. I know there's nothing else but you. So help. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is like help, I'm drowning over here. And then as you're drowning, you know, He reaches in, grabs you, pulls you up, and then it's like, okay, now follow me. And so now the world talks, when it talks about righteousness too, it has this thing about you know, like all the saints and stuff like that. Oh yeah, you know, I just see, when we are okay, go to Romans chapter 3. Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's start at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He is the God of the Jews. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Okay. excuse me. So, all right, a few things. One is to understand that the righteousness that we have is not in and of ourselves and is not based on anything that we have or ever would do. See, there's something in us, again, and this is part of the programming of the society we live in. People are defined by what you do. So it's like, okay, you meet somebody. First question, oh, okay, what's your name? Second question is,
what do you do?
What do you do? Now, why? Because in the world, people find their identity in the world based on their doing. So it's a very busy beehive. And everybody in the beehive wants to know, where do you fit in the hive? And where do you fit in the hierarchy of the hive? So if you are a entry-level employee of some organization, well, you're not to be respected much. If you are a director of a company, oh, wait a second, you're somebody. Now, you can be the exact same person. You've got the same education, you've got the same hopes, you've got the same whatever, but the perception in and of the world is you're defined by what you do, and you're defined by your position. So, now, the contrast is, in Christ, there is no position. You have one high priest, who's Christ Jesus, and all the rest of us are little priests in Christ Jesus, all of us with responsibility, but no lordship over anybody else. So with us, we have different responsibility in the body, just so like you have a physical body. My heart has certain responsibility that's not done by my lungs. But if both of them chose, not one is not more important than the other, because I need them both to function today. Likewise, if I lose my eyes, I'm in a mess. I need all the different parts of my body. You lose your big toe, and people are like, oh yeah, if you lost your big toe, you can't balance. I mean, it's like so it's just like every part of your body has a reason and a purpose for being. And there's not one part. You miss a part if you lost it. You really, really miss it, you know? And so it's like, so every part of your body is necessary. And so the body of Christ is made up of different components, and each part has a different role to play. But there's no lordship over anybody else. Now, the world and the system that we get saved from, the system that we come out from, it bases everything on what you do and your position there in the world. And actually, there are people that are in the world that play around with this, because they mess around with people's perceptions even in that. So they will come across, and a lot of people that are BSers, so it's like they will play with that perception, you know, and you know, it's some of them are very good at it, you know, and then eventually they even turn it into a reality. You ever see the movie Schindler's List?
Yeah, I remember it.
Do you remember, okay, at the start of this movie, he's at that restaurant, and like he calls the waiter over with some cash, and he has this guy go, and okay, there's all these German high-ranking officers on the other side, and he decides, and he buys them like drinks and a party, and then they invite him over. So then he's over there with these guys, and he gets his picture taken with them, and you know, having this big party. And then later on, he sends pictures of him with these guys to them when he's like starting his, or to other guys too, when he's about to start his whole business. And then they're like, oh wow, this guy, you know, from the same party, and same. So it's, so he just kind of, you know,
did,
yeah, but he just played with the way the world, these guys work within the world. And in the end, he ended up using that position to help save a lot of lives.
Yeah,
real long movie. Really, really, really long movie. Good old movie, though. Old movie, yeah. It's like, probably like 10 years old now. Okay. So part of the thinking in the world is that because you're defined by what you do, also now you're... It's very hard for somebody to break from that paradigm to then now go into the world of spirit where, you know, so you got a lot of people that are trying to, wait, I did some bad stuff, so now I need to do some good stuff to make up for my bad stuff, you know, because it's like, it's very worldly principle, you know, I borrowed some money, now I got to pay it back, you know, so it's just like, I owe somebody, I got to balance everything off. But the truth is, one, in the world of spirit, there's no way you can pay your debt. Because it's like, it's huge. I mean, you can't pay for sin when you have to look at it with, in line with perfection. So that's why, two, in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's like, everybody messed up. So when you look at any person, anywhere in the world, you know they've fallen short. Mother Teresa, love her dearly, fell short of the glory of God.
Oh.
No, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every see, even the question, like, how did Mother Teresa?
Yeah, exactly.
No, because the percent. No, every person has sinned. Every person has fallen short, and because of that, but you go on, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what happens is that we are, you know, when somebody does something wrong and they're, what's the first thing that people do? All the way back to the garden, it's like,
condemn them.
No, it's like, you know, Adam, what'd you do? But it's blaming on somebody else, and also justify your actions, justify what you did. And the thing is, there is ultimately with sin, it's your sin. You've sinned against even yourself. You know, not just against God, but you've sinned against yourself. And the justification is, there is no justification in and of ourselves. That's why we deserve the penalty for our actions. We deserve the consequences for the things that we've done. There's a universal law. You reap what you sow. But there is, in the world of spirit, when somebody bows their knee before the Father and receives the gift that He offers through Christ Jesus, there is a justification that does happen at that moment in time. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Okay, so there was a blood sacrifice necessary to pay and to, for us, you know, to cover the consequence and the payment necessary for the, everything that we did. So now, in now, what happens is that we now are set free, and we're now righteous. Not in and of ourselves, but we're righteous in Him. That's why the whole thing with the whole Protestant Reformation, was with Martin Luther was the just shall live by faith. So Martin Luther was, you know, at the Vatican, you know, going up and down the stairs on his knees doing his penance, and in that process, so in that process of going up and down the stairs on his knees, all of a sudden the Spirit of God boomed in his soul, the just shall live by faith, and it's like, whoa, wait a second, that's the word came back, and he realized it's going up and down these stairs on my knees is not getting me any closer to God. What does get me close to God is realizing that here it is, and that first of all, I am made right in Christ Jesus, trusting Him, that I am made right by His blood and by that sacrifice that He made for me. And out of that position, out of that connection, now, you know, it's like now I walk out life with Him, and anything that I do is not based on trying to get something from God, but it's based basically out of gratitude and a relationship and something He directs me to do. So it's like, so it's the things that we do, the motivation and the heart behind it are very different now. So it's not about, okay, let me do to get in good with God. It's now, wow, I know Him, I'm walking with Him, and, you know, out of this relationship, it's like, okay, here's what I have for you next. Cool. You know, that then it's like, now your life becomes an adventure. Now your life becomes a constant relationship and connection with Him. And see, that's why, too, it's God, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So you can have two people that do the exact same thing. One is doing it out of wrong motive and wrong intention, and the other one is doing it based on a connection and a relationship with God. And then both will do the same thing, but one will be laced with the Spirit of God and be something that really blesses, and the other one is actually sending this guy in the wrong direction and hurting his life and probably hurting the lives of a lot of other people. So that's why you can't go by the natural appearance of things. That's why you can't go by how things look on the outside. You really have to dig deep. So, all right. So since all are, since none are righteous in and of themselves, since all have failed, one thing that's good is to cut each other some slack. Which is important, and you know that and I've messed up in that area plenty this last week of just not
really?
Well, yeah, just not see, one thing is like, okay, the world we live in, it's not right, and it's never going to be right. Not the one that we live in at this point in time, under this dispensation, in this interim period that we're living in, it is not going to become. Hey, welcome. Cool. It's a bit, but it seems a bit cold. If you want to turn it down, since you, I don't know. No, if you're.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
What's Audrey is Arif Karam. She told us last.
Yeah. And then they have the fashionista thing coming up too, and some there. Okay. We're in part three on the series. Okay. So.
Are you single? I was. No.
Okay. So none are righteous. So our righteousness is in Christ Jesus, not based on works. And so, you know, one of the things too, and this is something that just nags at us, is that, okay, the world we're living in is flawed. It's messed up. It's, you know, you see all these things happening, and it's just like, why is this happening, and why are these people struggling, and why is this happening, and why are these relationships, and why does such and such do this, and this doesn't that person realize that it hurts these people, and you know, and it's like, and all of this is going on, And then the issue then comes inside. You're just like, this needs to change. This needs to stop. And then because you want that to change, you want that to stop, then you start trying and fighting for what? An external change to the problems, the trials, the things that you see going on around you. You start fighting for that, and then pretty soon what I realized this week is I became part of the problem. Because in my fight for this external change, all of a sudden I realized the way that I was going about it is I was just getting as mean and as vicious as anybody else that I would know from that's doing some of these other things. I'm like, gosh, what? So I saw certain sides of me, and I was just like, wow, this is not nice. And I'm like, God, I'm sorry. And then I just, then again, what's the whole thing? Repent, bow your knee before the Father. I'll share my mistakes. Repent, bow your knee before the Father, and line up with Him. And then also, and then I went back and apologized, in places that I need to say sorry. And because you seek also as much as possible to be at peace with other people, but realize that the most important thing, see, the externals are going to continue. Like, look back through the last several thousand years of human history. With all of the minds that we have, with all of the technological advancements, with all of these things, no utopia. No, if you ever see anything that's halfway a semblance of it, it's a whitewashed thing. So realize that this world outside of, like basically the return of Christ, you won't see a sustained anything anywhere. Now, what you can, though, look towards, and staying in this call of righteousness, is internally you move towards that. See, this is where this is something even like I've been like, okay, what is going on? Because it's like you work towards trying to be part of the solution. You have that desire in you. You want to see things better. You want to see things like in line with the Word of God. You want to see things. But here's something, okay? You can't do it for somebody else. And you have, but where you have the responsibility,
you can influence them, but it's up to them.
You can share, you can share your experience, you can share truth, you can seek to be a witness for that. But in the end, each person is responsible before the Father for themselves. And it's like, even with parents, it's like you have a window of time with your kids. But then after that window's done, they are now they're out there.
Responsible.
Yeah, they're responsible. They're growing. My little brother is turning 18 coming up here. Yeah, little brother.
Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Come. You're welcome. Really? Come. Yeah. Beach party. So.
Friday,
yeah.
I have a gig.
I'll come late.
I have a wedding which will probably finish around 11.
Yeah. Come. Cause let's go straight into the sister's party. So two parties sandwiched to one. So we end up having you're responsible. Each person is responsible before God for the lives that you live here. And see, life here is really short. Good idea.
Okay.
You can turn it off if you want. Yeah, that's fine.
All right,
done. So each person is responsible before God for the life that we live here, and that's why too. It's like you have to, that's why it's so important that we spend time before God in prayer. That's why it's so important that we keep the Word in front of us. Because when you do that, it gets your perspective back on what's important, what's right, what's true, what is life about. Because it's very, very easy if you're to get sucked into the world because you're surrounded by it. And without that deliberate decision, it keeps you strong spiritually. And when you get caught up with a lot of other things, it's all of a sudden you do get weaker.
Yeah.
You know, and I've noticed that too. When I start getting really, you know, like, just,
you don't even realize.
Yeah, and you know what? People will care that you weren't at a meeting. People will care that you, you know, weren't available for what. People will care that you didn't get something done. But they will not care at all whether you spent time with God for today. No one is going to manage your life for you. No one is going to manage your connection with God for you. It's up to each one of us to make that, I mean, it has to be that pursuit. You know, but in that pursuit, you find your peace, you find your direction. So, okay, so my newsflash for this week was, you know, this is not heaven, and it's not going to be heaven. You know, that this world, and we're not going to make it heaven by our own best efforts and by all of those things. And to realize that, okay, externally, it will remain in turmoil for the duration of your life here in the earth. It's going to be a tumultuous experience for your life here. Internally, you can move towards that, though. Okay, so Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Okay. Luke 17 verse 20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you."
What was that, Luke?
Luke chapter 17 verse 20 and 21. So, the kingdom of God is within you. And so, you see, what happens is, excuse me, is even during Jesus' time, everybody was looking for this external kingdom. And they were ready to fight for it, they were ready to kill for it, they were ready to die for it. They were all looking for this external kingdom. And when Jesus showed up, not like they thought a king would show up, and he showed up saying things that they never thought this Messiah or king would say, and he ended up establishing a spiritual kingdom in the earth that functions different than the way that they were ever expecting the kingdom of God to be. So what is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is within. So it's within you, it's within me, it's within anyone that is his. That kingdom is there. And so what happens with the functioning of the kingdom for those that are now found in Christ? Now you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that kingdom, you can go deeper and deeper with the Father while you're here. And in each time that you keep going in and you keep pressing and you keep going down, there's a change that takes place on the inside where, regardless of the external circumstance, you can walk and live in peace. And you can walk and live with Christ Jesus. Now, it's not... there's definitely times when things, you know, it's like you will fall off your horse. You know, you will, but you get sidetracked. You get pushed aside. You snap. You lose it. And that is part of it's definitely hardwired into your human nature. It's definitely hardwired into your flesh. It's definitely hardwired into the suit that you must exist in while you're here in this dimension. So it's there. It's part and parcel of the thing that you live in. So so there is a need to master that. And this power of the Spirit of God enables you to master that. But you have to be given over to that and on that pursuit. But simultaneously, you can also be pressing in the world of spirit to a deeper and a more real connection with the Father in the kingdom which is within. And so what that does, though, is that regardless of the external circumstance, you can function completely different than the way that the world does. And the deeper that you choose to go,
that's where we make a difference.
Yeah, the more that that you see the kingdom of God, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In what am I made of? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I'm earth. I'm a vessel that I'm the temple of the living God. The spirit of the living God lives in you, lives in me. And in this earth that's walking around, my prayer is that, Lord, your kingdom would continue to come and to grow and to fill until there's nothing left here but a reflection of you. That's the desire. That's the pursuit. That's the growth. That's the work of the Spirit of God inside the life and the heart of a true follower of Him. Is that in the world, what happens is the world and things that happen to us in the world, Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, who agape Him, who have that love of God that's put in them, that He causes the circumstance and the situations to work together for good. Okay, one way that it does is the trials and the externals and all the difficult things that happen to us chip away at the who we are not. And so you go through something terrible, for example. And in that terrible situation, when you turn to the Father and when you bow your knee before Him and He brings you through that, you've just gone deeper within in the kingdom than you did before. So you now have a deeper and a stronger relationship with Him now than you did before. You now know Him. Now what is eternal life? John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So now you have this deeper connection with the Father through the things that you suffered in the world. So when see, and this is again, what is the carnal world says, okay, God causes all things to work together for the good of those. The carnal mindset says, oh, okay, so now you're going to get a bigger business deal, and now you're going to get a better wife, and now you're going to get it's like no, you missed it. They think again on worldly terms, and they've been trained to think on worldly terms, and they've been reinforced to think on worldly terms. And then when their faith fails them because it was incorrectly taught, incorrectly, not in line with the Spirit of God, but in line with the car, and then now all of a sudden it doesn't work, and you named and claimed and it didn't show up, you know, and you tried to pursue this falsity, and then it doesn't work, because truth works 100% of the time. Truth works. See, that's why it's true. It works.
Your heart condition.
Yeah, and so it's like, so he when people, when it, that's why too, part of it is like, okay, I really want to know what God said. I really want to know what the Spirit of God is doing, because I want to line myself up with that so that I'm on His page. So then it's like, so then if I have an issue, if I'm going through something, then I understand here's how God works. And then too, my expectation is right. So for example, I know very clearly that seek first the kingdom and He'll take care of your needs. So, because in Matthew 6, so, you know, so I know that if I seek first the kingdom and I trust Him, that the things that I need in this world will be taken care of by the Spirit of God. So He will provide for me, and He will create the way and the opportunity for that to be taken care of. Now, if I'm not seeking first the kingdom, I don't have that promise. That promise is there for those that, so the truth is there. Now that doesn't mean seek first the kingdom and I get a Learjet. whereas that's been taught. That's pushed. So again, you have to look at, okay, what is God saying? All right, who's God talking to? what is God talking about? How does it relate to me?
But to you, like in the States, I mean, positive, I mean, these churches, they preach that and they actually get these things. I mean, obviously, what do you think about that?
Okay, there's another thing too. Remember what Jesus said, because they refused, or Scripture said, because they refused to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion that they believe the lie, and so be damned. See, what happens is what with people, if you don't have a heart for truth, then and you go after the way of the world, what's one of the best ways for the enemy to keep you going up? To let you believe that that thing works. So, okay, for example, if if I believe, you know, so every time I hit my pencil on the table, and if you put $100 in my bank account every time I put that pencil like that, and this happens enough times, all of a sudden I start believing, wow, this just results in that. I see this as cause and effect. And then, but the problem is, no, if somebody else is watching that and just wants to get me to do this, so they're playing with you. See, this whole world is, again, a spiritual, there's a spiritual dynamic.
But also applies to, like, a non-Christian, or if you pray for something and then we get it, in, as in genuinely having the heart for God, and we pray for something and we get it, and it happens more than one occasion.
Mm.
And so, you just mentioned that cause and effect thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would bring it up as well.
Okay, here's something, and this is we were going to get into this, is what I call situational faith. See, again, back to now the way that people are trained and the way that people are taught. You're taught that people base many times their faith on how things are going for you in the world. So it's like, so if things are working out for you in the world, this must be the blessing of God. If things are not working out for you in the world, then this must be, there must be something wrong with my faith. Now, contrasting examples, Job. You know, okay, Job. You know, it's like, here is somebody that's a righteous man in his generation, and all of a sudden now, his whole world melted down in a day, in the world. But he stayed true to God. Now, now most people, and this is something I see this for the majority of people, and I've been prone to it too, and I'm just starting to realize, you know, some of the issue here. See, when things work out for you in the world, it's like, okay, so say you get something like a day ago or something, like there was this thing that just came together out of the blue, and not for me, but on behalf of some other people. That made me feel really happy, because it's just, you know, something that happened. It's going to benefit some other people, and I did a little bit of work on it, opportunity there. And I feel good about it. Okay, now magnify that times 1,000. When things go well for people in the world, the key is in the world. See, whereas if you're in Christ Jesus, if things go well for you in the world or not, that's not the issue. The issue is your connection with the Spirit of the living God. Because, for example, if things going well for you in the world was the test and the measure of your faith, then Warren Buffett and Bill Gates should be the strongest followers of Christ that this world has ever seen. Are they? Not quite. So if things going well for you in the world would be then, you know, a president...
Bill Gates and Warren Buffett as Christians?
I haven't. They're.
They must be, but not that. I really think that.
There's the world and the world system, actually. The higher you go in the world and the world system, the more that you are part of the system and perpetuating that same system. So very, very, very rarely do you get a Joseph or a Daniel or somebody like that who is in those positions. But they do happen, you know. And see, that's why, again,
yeah.
you can't say, okay, everybody there is all... Because God puts His own there. But even those ones, look at what Joseph and Daniel had to go through to be in those positions. I mean, Joseph was sold into slavery for 13 years. Daniel was taken as an exile, you know. But in their faithfulness and in their walk and their walk in integrity in connection with God, God was used and created the opportunity, miraculous opportunity, for them to actually be in those positions. And the whole time that they were there, to also sustain them and keep them from being destroyed by other people that wanted to destroy them for the very thing they upheld, which was His name, and to walk in truth. So Daniel's like, oh, we got an issue with this Daniel guy. We got to get rid of him. Let's kill him. It's the whole thing set up by all these guys just to try to get rid of Daniel. So anytime you see somebody who is in a position like that, they're, you know, it's, they will have gone through the ringer to actually get there. And every person struggles in this life. Every person has issues in this life. And so you, it's just staying true to the Father. But things working out for you in the world is not the basis and the measure of your faith. So this is, again, a fundamental shift that needs to take place in the body of the true body of Christ needs to snap out of that, because you've been told that for so long. All right, let me give you a very real example. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. All right. Acts chapter 16 and starting at verse 16. Well, actually, let's, you know, go back to verse 9, and then we'll go forward. Verse 9 says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Okay, now jump forward to verse 16. "And it came to pass," so now they're going there, doing the will of God, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? Keep that in mind. "And it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, which are showing unto us the way of salvation.' And they did, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out, and he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Okay, so let's summary. Verse 9, vision. 10, God told us to go this way. 22, did things work out for them in the world at this point? You know, is this God's blessing on their life?
I'm sure they would have thought that too.
Yeah, no, the thoughts go through the mind, the thoughts go through the head. It's like, and so this is why too, again, what is necessary? The kingdom is within. It's not, and see, this is where deep calls on the deep. This is why too, you have to encourage each other in Christ to get real and go deep with the Father in your relationship and your connection. Because then your life and your walk with Him is not based on your external circumstance, your external situation. Point to be proven, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Okay, here's the difference. When you have that connection, there's a shift that takes place on the inside of a person where their reality is not based on their external situation, but on an internal, deep connection with the Father. So now most people that I know, if you had gotten, you had followed what you believed was God's will and God's voice, and you went, and now you got thrown in jail, and you got beaten up, the next thing, why, God? What's wrong? Why me? Don't you love me? I can just hear the prayers. You know, but they're singing praises unto God. And see, what happened too, is that for them, there was a shift that had taken place internally. The kingdom of God had come within them. Now, I had an experience one time when I remember I was in India. And I was in a place that, I mean, you know, like they have those travel guides, like the Lonely Planet travel guides and stuff. Okay, the state I was in India has only, like, the entire state only has 20 pages because it's the poorest state in India. And it's the state that they all joke about, like it's Bihar. In Bihar, out of those 20 pages, 10 pages are history. And then the other 10 pages is like just a little bit of a breakdown of like Patna, which is the capital city of Bihar and stuff. And basically said, look, most people don't come here. They usually just show up if they come down from Kathmandu to get a visa to go back. Now, the place that I was in, the place that I ended up going to, because this is when I was doing some work with Tirfan, was not even listed. It was like in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. I mean, it was like, it was out there. And it was really like, it was physically, it was a very harsh place to be. I mean, I don't think people live that long in that area. I mean, because physically the environment is not very healthy, and it's not. And and the place that, you know, that I was ending up staying, you know, was, you know, was not nice at all. I'll just put it like that. I don't want to go into too many descriptors, but it was not a nice spot. And I had to be there for an extended period of time because of the work that I was doing. So now, when I first got into this place, I was just like, all right, this is not nice. I did not like my circumstance and my situation.
Obviously, because you got used to a more comfortable environment. And
now you're in a place where it's like you're doing some good stuff, but it's a harsh environment. It's a harsh reality. And I just remember though, at one point, like, you know, I'm just praying about it, because and God did a shift inside of me. And the shift that took place, and it was very real, it was very tangible in my spirit, where all of a sudden now something changed where the external environment hadn't changed at all, but internally I was great now in the situation I was in. And so nothing externally had shifted, but internally I was like, if I had to be there for 3 months, I would have been fine. You know, if I had to be there for, I mean, I was just, it was like, and then like all of a sudden now this passage started to like really make more sense, because now I started seeing, okay, on the inside, God can make the shift as you go deep with Him, that is not about the external environment, it's not about the external situation, it's not about things working out for you in the world, it's about the connection that you have with Him. And He causes all things to work together for the good, because as you persist and you close in deeper and deeper with Him, that now, through whatever it is that you went through, He, you are, that relationship and that solution that's in Him becomes more and more apparent and applied to your life. So verse 26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed." And you know, people love to go on in verse 26 onwards, but they miss the point in verse 25, because the victory is in verse 25. You know, that's the shift, that's the connection that is necessary. I mean, actually, you go on, and it's an amazing miracle that worked out here, where oh, let's just read it. The foundation's prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and he was baptized, and he and his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Okay, and it goes on, but it's like, so there's a miracle that also happens in this whole thing through persisting with Christ. And see, that's the thing too that takes place with us, is that...
You okay? No, I'm just allergic to something.
Okay, so
like that.
Yeah. And
allergic to
it might be the AC, but
just turn off.
But so there's a miracle though that takes place where as you continue to persist in Christ. And see, that's why too, for us, the external circumstance, the external environment, let it be what it is. Do whatever God shows you in that respect. So if He shows you something to do, sure, go for it. But realize that it's not your job to fix the world. It's not my job to fix the world. It's God's the one that'll sort this whole thing out. Now, if He gives me something to do specifically, sure, I'll do it. But that's again based on the internal connection and the deeper nature of the relationship I have going with Him there. But then also realize that as you continue to persist, what happens too is that God manifests Himself through you in the situations that you go in and to and through, to show and to reveal to the world that yes, in fact, you are His, He is yours, you walk with Him, and He has power over this reality, over this situation, over this world that we're living in, and there is another way that's in Him. And anyone else that's His, that has a heart to see and eyes to see, a heart to understand, and ears to hear, will, just like the jailer, be like, "What do I got to do? You know, what's going on?" And again, how does He show up? The same thing. Do. What do I got to do? Because again, the world is like, it's based on your doing. And but you introduce them to that reality shift, which is, look, what you need is to know the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to know the author of life, and we can introduce you to Him, because we are His ambassadors. We are ambassadors of the living God in this world right now. So what we do is, we're on this rescue mission, you know, on the sinking Titanic. You're the Navy SEALs sent in on the sinking Titanic to point people to where the lifeboat is at and show them, here's where it is, and to help them get off the deck in any way that you can or any way possible. But still, they're the ones making the choice to go there. They're the ones making that decision. but you're here for a very limited, very short period of time to do this assignment. And so, but in the meanwhile, keep your connection strong with the Father, because otherwise, too, you can get snagged up in the ship and the dancing party that's going on,
yeah.
You know, in the back deck of the Titanic while the whole thing's going down. So, but see, okay, wow, where does the time go? It goes so fast, doesn't it? Okay, so we'll wrap it up here. But again, realizing too that the nature that we live in, our human nature, is, and back to the whole thing about situational faith, we avoid pain and we seek pleasure. I mean, that's just the way that the human, it's you're wired that way. And the world, and it's on the most carnal level, that's how people operate. And the world will reinforce that. So the world will say, yeah, it's all about that. Go for it, you know. So you get pleasure even at the expense of everybody else. Everyone else can die if you can have a little bit more fun in this life. You know, and so that's the push that happens with the world. Now, with Christ, and when you're in Christ, what happens is, and this is purely His work within you, because outside of Him, we're all the same. You know, we all do that same stuff. We're all going that way if we're outside of Him. But in Him, now what happens is now we start to become different. Because the Spirit of God is now changing you, shaping you. As you walk with Him, He's rubbing off on you. And now it's like you start becoming different. For example, you feel horrible when you sin and when you do something to hurt God and to hurt somebody else. So when you do something, like inside of you, it's just like, God.
You just feel guilty.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to do that. I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
it's until
you said it right, just wear, like, kind of wear you down.
Yeah.
After you've done it, you don't realize when you're doing it, but after you've done it a couple of, takes a couple of days sometimes, and then you think, sure, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and so it's like, so see, you start becoming different because the Spirit of God working in you is causing you to be that way. Now, and it's so because again, one, you don't want to hurt His heart, and you know that it hurts His heart. You know that it hurts your connection with Him, and you know that you've hurt somebody else. So it's like, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? It's like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, it's just like you just broke everything, the greatest stuff that you're supposed to. And it's like, it hurts you. So you know that. And so, but now the difference is, in the world, they don't bat an eyelid. In fact, in the world, they it's a paradigm shift because they're on the other side of they're on the other side, and so they're in the kingdom of darkness. And so for them, they get a boost in the system if they do against God and the people of God.
It's like an ego boost.
Yeah, but not just that; they get rewarded in their system. They get a battery charge in their system. They get. So even for them, even scriptures talk about how there's some, they can't sleep until they made somebody else fall. You know, they. So now here it is. So it's like the Spirit of God is changing you and working in you. Whereas for them, theirs is an entirely different paradigm where they seek that. They seek the destruction of other people. They seek, so those are the people too that you're locked into this place with while you're here.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, and so you can pray for them. You can pray for your enemies, but also realize too that this is where these guys are coming from. Mm-hmm. So a battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6. So okay. So, okay, because again, now just reverting back to one of our older series, but about two kingdoms. In the kingdom of God, what is good in the kingdom of God is bad in the kingdom of the world. What is bad in the kingdom of God is good in the kingdom of the world. So it's a flip. It's a complete flip. It's two completely different worlds. So so in the world, in the world system, if you're completely given over to it and you've deliberately turned your back on God knowing the truth, and at that point of severing, then within their system now you get promoted, you get advanced, you get the more base that you are, the more the carnal that you are, the more of a baby blood drinker that you are, the higher that you go within their system. And
there is no middle ground.
There is no, and you get charged. You get charged up. You get this buzz from all the stuff that you do. So like so even like a lot of these wars all over the world are just human sacrifices. You know, it's a modern day human sacrifice. What are people fighting over?
Nothing of theirs anyway.
Yeah, it's all a setup. So it's like what you do is you take the young and the strong.
Even Sri Lanka.
Yeah. No, Sri Lanka is one big giant human sacrifice, what's going on there. And so what are they doing? They're taking the young, they're taking and they're putting them out there. And you're kidding. Who? It's not some invading army coming to try to take away to hurt and harm your families. It's people that live next door to you are your enemy. You know, it's the whole thing is a fabrication, a demonic fabrication, that every day lives are being sacrificed in this country to demonic powers, and they call it war. It's not a war, it's a human sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, the satanic demons, and those that push it and keep it going are those that are given over to that. So if you start talking about, but even there too, you know, so people talk about a cessation of hostilities. Well, it still doesn't solve the internal spiritual issue that's here, because it just goes, that demon then just says, okay, let's go start burning down churches. Let's go start fighting our neighbor because they encroached on our boundary line.
I think on Monday evening I got an SMS saying that
that church was burned. Yeah, I got
that
one too.
There?
I don't know too much about what happened, but I mean, but that all it's just all of these issues that are going on are it's spiritual. So even there too, realize that with the spiritual issues that are taking place, with all of that, that the call for us is to go within and to go deep with the Spirit of God and to press in with Him and to allow Him to change internally what's necessary, so that whatever external situation and circumstance you find yourself in, that doesn't determine your the way that you relate to anything. It's based on your connection. It's based on the life that God has put in you. And then that's where it's like, now you are coming in and walking in the kingdom. So, wow, I'm totally out of time.